that focuses on the latter part of our vision statement, which is one life at a time. Our vision statement is bring the hope and healing of Christ to our community, one life at a time. And so we're looking in the Gospels at moments where Jesus encountered people one life at a time. You know, there are moments where Jesus is speaking to a large crowd, the Sermon on the Mount, maybe speaking in the synagogue. But there are also moments throughout the Gospels where Jesus connects with people one-on-one. He validates them, as we saw in our call to worship, by calling them by name. And he has these encounters one life at a time. And so this morning we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that is very familiar. And if I'm honest, whenever I found out that I was going to be doing Zacchaeus and I knew the sermon series, I thought, perfect, right? This is going to be easy. What could be easier than a one life at a time story than Jesus and Zacchaeus? I mean, it was like a gift with a nice little bow on top with a little Sunday school song that we can sing if we wanted to, right? This is one of those stories that you just love, because it's like you don't even have to look. You can just recite it from heart. And so I thought, you know, I figured it in my head a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is going to be easy. I know where I'm going to go with the story of Zacchaeus. You know, old, slimy, greedy Zacchaeus, right? The tax collector who skims off the top when the Roman Empire is sending stuff down to people, and he skims off the bottom as the taxes go up. Old greedy Zacchaeus who climbs up in a tree and Jesus calls him down, and so on and so on. I thought this one life at a time connection was just going to be just a given for our sermon this morning. But the more I looked at the Scripture, the more I dug in this week, God began to kind of show me a different take, a different reading of the story of Zacchaeus. Honestly, something that I had never seen in all my years and all the, you know, flannel graphs and Sunday school stories. I've never seen this kind of rise to the top in the story. And so I've actually dusted off the old King James today. We're going to look at the King James version of this passage from Luke chapter 19, because in this particular passage, I found that the King James was the closest connection to the Greek grammar and the Greek vocabulary. And we're going to see that's going to play a pivotal role in a new reading of this passage. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. If not, the words will be projected on the screens. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Now this isn't CNN, Fox News, fake news. Okay, this is an old English word for the crowd that was around Jesus. He couldn't for the press, because he was of little stature, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so as I was studying this week and preparing this message, one of the first clues that stuck out to me that maybe something else could be happening is this story is Zacchaeus' name. The name Zacchaeus literally means pure and innocent. And that just didn't really jive with the slimy, greedy, tax-collecting Zacchaeus that I had always learned about and heard about. And so this pure, innocent, Zacchaeus, as his name may state, in our story this morning, is seeking Jesus. He is actively looking for Jesus. Now, this is something else that was a little bit of a change for me. I must be honest, I always imagined that Jesus, being Jesus, had a large crowd. He probably was healing people. There probably was excitement around him. And here this little short guy, Zacchaeus, trying to see what's going on. And so he climbs up into the tree. And we know the rest of the story. But in our text this morning, the Bible doesn't say that Zacchaeus happened to be at the right place at the right time when Jesus passes by. It says that Zacchaeus sought Jesus because he wanted to see who he was. Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus. He wakes up that morning. He gets his day started with a goal to find Jesus. He's looking for Jesus. And so as the passage says, he finds Jesus, but he's just a little too short to see him, so he climbs up in this tree. He climbs up in the tree, and Jesus calls him by name. And I got to be honest, I thought that this was going to be the zinger for my sermon, right? Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, one life at a time. Nice, we're done. But there's more to it. There's so much more to it. So Jesus does see Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. He calls him down. He essentially tells Zacchaeus, I'm staying the night at your house tonight. I'm coming. I'm crashing at your place tonight. And I can only imagine that if that were to happen to me, I would immediately be texting Jennifer. She would be saying, no, you've got to get out. No, 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 we're not ready. We've got it clean. The sheets aren't washed. But Zacchaeus excitedly welcomes Jesus into his home. And then the Bible says that the crowd, the press, the people that were around Jesus, they begin to grumble. This literally means they begin talking to one another. They're saying to one another, look, it's Zacchaeus. Jesus is going to be a guest in Zacchaeus' home. The sinner, the tax collector, the slimy, greasy Zacchaeus. Jesus is going to be a guest at his home. And so the crowd around Jesus begins to grumble. They begin to point out the obvious based on this man's occupation. This tax collector, this chief of the tax collectors, this sinner who Jesus is going to be a guest at his home. And then the Bible says that Zacchaeus, I guess maybe Zacchaeus is defending himself. Maybe he is explaining himself. Maybe he is responding to the grumblings of the crowd. But this is what really, for me, was a pivotal point in this passage that changed the way I had heard this passage. Because you see, in the original grammar, the next few phrases are written in the present tense, and not future tense. Zacchaeus doesn't say, I will give half of everything I have to the poor, or I will give back fourfold anyone that I cheated. Zacchaeus says, I give half of my belongings to the poor. This is how I live. And if by chance I've cheated someone, I give them fourfold back. And Jesus says in response to this radical lifestyle, right? This obedient lifestyle, Jesus says, surely salvation has come to this house. For so much you are also a son of Abraham. So there's a lot that's happening here, a lot that I have never seen in this passage before. Because Zacchaeus states his claim to Jesus, like, I hear what the crowd's saying, Lord, but this is how I live. And perhaps Zacchaeus was seeking out Jesus because he knew this was kind of the stuff that Jesus preached. Maybe rich, tax-collecting Zacchaeus had heard about another man that Jesus met a little earlier in chapter 18. You may have heard of him, the rich young ruler, right? The rich young ruler who comes to Jesus religiously asking, how do I receive eternal life? He tells Jesus, I've kept the law. I'm a good Jewish man. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, sell all your belongings, give them to the poor, and follow me. And the Bible says that he walked away sad because he had many things. So maybe Zacchaeus had knew about that encounter. don't know. But what we do know is, unlike the rich young ruler who was unwilling to part with his things, Zacchaeus has already been living his life that way. Zacchaeus, who was pushed out by the crowd, Zacchaeus, who has the reputation of the slimy tax collector who skims off the top, Zacchaeus is already living what the rich young ruler who had kept the law from birth was not able to do. I don't think it is an accident that Luke holds these two stories so close together. Luke has them almost as bookends in 18 and 19. So Zacchaeus makes his claim to Jesus, and then Jesus acknowledges that Zacchaeus is the son of Abraham. Like, just because the crowd has pushed you out, just because others think this about you, just because your occupation is what it is, you are also a son of Abraham. Then he says salvation has come to this house. He doesn't specifically say salvation has come to you, Zacchaeus. He says salvation has come to this house. And then Jesus, in this last passage, this last verse, when he says the Son of Man comes to seek that which is lost, he is channeling a chapter in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God is described as the shepherd who is bringing in all the lost sheep of Israel. And so I believe this morning that what Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus is quite literally that because you have now been restored, because I am acknowledging that you are a son of Abraham, because of how you live your life, because it is now on display for all to see, salvation has come to the community. Salvation has come to this house of Abraham. The grumbling crowd is now better because Zacchaeus is brought into the fold. Just like in Ezekiel, where God is bringing in the lost sheep, salvation comes in this moment. Transformation comes not only to Zacchaeus, but it comes to those who now their lives will be enriched because Zacchaeus is brought into the fold. It's a totally different dynamic than I was used to. I was talking to my dad this week as I was preparing the sermon, and he was like, I've always read it as Zacchaeus got saved in that moment. And I believe that. I still believe that Zacchaeus, his soul, in the sense of what we understand salvation, I believe that he, God says, Jesus says your sins are forgiven. We have this happen all these different ways that Jesus forgives people in the Gospels. I believe in that moment, Zacchaeus is saved as we understand it. But I also believe something bigger is happening. Jesus is making a statement about what one life at a time means to Jesus. You see, bringing these people in one life at a time brings salvation. It brings salvation to the house. And Luke is very strategic in letting us see that Zacchaeus is a rich man. I believe that he wants us to think of that rich young ruler. But yet Zacchaeus lives differently. Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is being restored because Jesus called him one life at a time and brought him in. And salvation has come to this house. And so, as I said earlier, it would have been nice if there was just this one life at a time connection between Jesus and Zacchaeus. It would have been so smooth. But there's another group of people that seem to steal the show in this story, and that is the crowd. Like, who is the crowd? It is the people that are around Jesus who quite literally create a physical barrier for little short Zacchaeus to see Jesus. And then, in a very judgmental way, they are creating a barrier between Jesus and Zacchaeus. It's odd because Luke also speaks of the crowd in a miracle that took place right before this, the healing of a blind man. And the crowd plays a pivotal role in this man's healing. Because the Bible says the crowd alerts the blind man to Jesus passing by. Hey, buddy, you might want to come check this guy out. He might can heal you. And so in one moment, the crowd, the people that surround Jesus, the people that press around Jesus, they alert a blind man to the power of Jesus.
obviously this poor, suffering, blind man needs Jesus. But when it comes to Zacchaeus, tax collector, rich, chief, tax collector, well, the crowd doesn't feel that he needs Jesus. The crowd doesn't feel that Jesus should be intermingling with this type of person. You see, the crowd, it seems, in this passage, plays like a gatekeeper. They're deciding who gets in and who doesn't. I wonder this morning if the crowd is symbolic of Christians today. You know, we're the people that are surrounding Jesus. We are the people that represent Jesus. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. And if we're absolutely honest, we're the people who point some people to Jesus, and besides some people, they don't get pointed to Jesus. Some people come in, some people, we don't want them to come in. Some people, based on their lifestyle, based on their jobs, their occupation, we welcome with open arms, and then other people, based on their job, their occupation, their political preference, color of their skin, you name it, the crowd around Jesus pushes away. They make decisions based on who Jesus can and cannot see, but Jesus supersedes the crowd. And he makes a statement about what salvation is about, what God is all about, what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is more than just Zacchaeus' personal salvation in this story. Jesus is about restoring humanity, the children of God that are scattered throughout. He's about bringing them in. And so the crowd is a very pivotal character in this story because the crowd plays the gatekeeper and Jesus won't have it. Doesn't matter how much they grumble and mumble, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. I'm crashing at your place. I'm having dinner with you. So the crowd functions much like church does today, determining who gets in and who gets out. It reminds me of a song that I learned when I was a little kid. We used to have these kids' crusades where it was like a week-long thing in the summer, and someone would come, and they had puppets and clowns, and it was an evangelistic week, and you know, I made the mistake one time of telling the staff that they would do mimes, and we got into that. I was, you know, we had a mime ministry, and apparently Methodists are really scared of mimes after revealing that. But you know, there was all these different techniques to reach children, and there was this cute little song, right? And it said, if I had a little bitty box to put my Jesus in, I'd open it up and I'd kiss him all over and I'd put him back again. And if I had a little box to put that devil in, I'd open it up and I'd stomp him in the dirt, right? And as silly and goofy as that is, I think that is how we view Jesus sometimes. He's my personal Savior. We say that. And it's innocent. But sometimes it can be violent. Sometimes it can be ostracized because if he's my Jesus, then maybe I don't want him to be your Jesus. Maybe I just want to keep him in the box for me. When I meet someone that, oh man, they need I come and I open up my box, there's these other people and they don't need to meet Jesus. Because I don't want to imagine a future with them coming to church with me. I can't imagine being in the crowd and having to stand next to them. And so we've taken this very personalized, very, let's be honest, very selfish understanding of salvation, that it's all about me. As long as I die and go to heaven, that's the core of everything. That's what Jesus died on the cross for, was just so that I could not die and go to hell. But there seems to be a much bigger, broader, wider understanding of salvation at stake in the reading of the story of Zacchaeus. The reading of Ezekiel. This idea that Jesus died on the cross to bring salvation to the whole house, to the community. That That the community of God is restored when one life at a time is brought into the fold.
That the salvation
of our community, the salvation that Jesus died for, becomes fuller and fuller the more lost sheep are brought in. You see, for Ezekiel is writing at a time where Israel is in exile. The Babylonians, the Neo-Assyrians, they've decimated their lands. They've scattered them throughout Egypt and Babylon and all of these places. And Ezekiel's he doesn't want them to lose hope on there being a Jerusalem again, being a city again, a place for them. So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he draws this imagery of God being a shepherd, bringing in the scattered sheep, bringing them back in. There being this one place in Jerusalem. Now what's interesting in the Old Testament is there are different takes on this idea. Some people didn't think everybody should be able to come in. Some authors, like Isaiah, at the end of Isaiah, you have everybody. It says the nations are flowing in like a stream to Jerusalem. It says that the eunuchs and the foreigners are worshiping in the temple. So you get this imagery in the Old Testament of God being in a location and everybody coming to God. And then we see it fulfilled in Jesus' death on the cross, right? Jesus dies to bring salvation. But it's so much more than just my personal salvation or your personal salvation. That's just such a simplified, let's just be honest, selfish understanding of why Jesus died on the cross. Because Jesus came to bring all the lost children back in. We're all born in the image of God. We're all children of God. He's died so that all come in one life at a time. And he makes this statement. He calls Zacchaeus by name. Zacchaeus, who the crowd rejects. The crowd around Jesus rejects him. He calls him by name. He invites him in. He sees Zacchaeus for who he is. And guess what? This outcast, he's living a righteous and just life. Go figure. The guy that the crowd can't stand is already living radical restoration. He's given half of what he owes to the poor. He pays back four times if he makes an accounting mistake. And so Jesus says that salvation has come because he is this lost sheep has been brought back into the fold. I wonder this morning if we can see ourselves in the crowd today. In 2020, in the United States of America, in this rocky political landscape that we live in, and in the world of social media where anything can be said and anything about Jesus can be said. Gosh, it is insane the stuff that he had posted that can be said about Jesus on social media. And guess who's posting it? The crowd. Right? The crowd. The people that are around Jesus. And so I wonder, in Conyers, Georgia, we are the crowd that are around Jesus. Are we so tight around our Jesus that all the world sees is our backs? I can only imagine Zacchaeus, trying to see, having to climb up in a tree just to see this man who he's heard so much about, who he woke up that morning seeking. Or are we the crowd around Jesus that's facing the world and our arms are open and we're inviting them in one life at a time? You see, I believe that salvation for this community, salvation for this house, as Jesus puts it, is about us reaching this community with the hope and healing of Christ one life at a time. But we can't be the gatekeepers. We can't keep Jesus in a box. We can't decide who gets in and who doesn't based on who they are. We have to celebrate. have to recognize that what Jesus is looking to celebrate is when each individual life who is already a child of God, just like Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham, is brought back into the fold, finds their place in the community, finds their place in the crowd around Jesus. So I challenge you, as we move through, man, as we continue to look at stories in Scripture of one life at a time, who are you in the crowd? Are you alerting the sick, the hurting, the hopeless to Jesus? Are you grumbling and murmuring because the church is wrestling over who grace is for? How far do our arms reach? We're in a difficult time as a church. But one thing I know for sure is God has called us at this church to reach